The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today, James reflects to a classic sermon on the impact believers could have on the world when we come together in love.
Someone says, I'm not going to compromise. Well, I believe it may be the greatest compromise of all to refuse to love one another. As a matter of fact, if you don't love one another, God says you don't even know him. I didn't say that. God said it. You can't hear God if you won't walk in love. How are you going to know the truth if you're committed to walk in darkness, hating one?
I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. I'm going to show you a message that was preached literally 40 years ago that shook the walls of the church in a way they needed to be shaken, broke down denominational divides to where the members of the family realized we need to come together. We're destroying one another. We're destroying fellowship relationship. We're disobeying God. We're refusing supernatural spiritual unity. I preached this to the Full Gospel businessmen in Los Angeles, California area. And I was told, Betty, that 7,000 men came forward immediately. And that was a great part of the crowd of over 10,000. But it was world shaking. Matter of fact, I was so moved as I listened to it, I had to dedicate my life anew and afresh to all that I had learned that I was sharing. I'm telling you, my friends, we have the opportunity to have the greatest supernatural spiritual awakening in history. I want you to listen closely, prayerfully, and then it'll be continued in the program tomorrow. I want you to get everyone you know to watch it. It'll be posted many places. It won't be hard for you to find a copy and watch it again. We go right now to the Coliseum in, I believe it was Anaheim, California, and Full Gospel Businessmen's World Convention.
God is about to shake down everything that can be shaken, folks. And I want to tell you, if you're standing on a worldly system of religion, if you're standing on worldly tradition, it's coming down. If you're standing on it, you better get off it. It's coming down. If you're standing near it, get away from it. It's falling down. Don't be near it. The only thing that's going to stand is the Word of God. Plant your feet on the Word of God and stand there. See what God says. It's going to take time. Many of the people that I have known now in the past months who've been healed by going to this word. Many of you for years have camped in the fifth chapter of James. Call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and pray. The prayer of faith will restore the sick. But you forgot the first four chapters of James. The first one says, let no double-minded man think he receives anything from the Lord. So stay out of chapter 5 till you get chapter 1 down. Many of you forgot chapter 4. If you make friendship with the world, that's enmity, hostility with God. You don't receive anything from God. God will not answer you. Find yourself in the presence of God. Come with brokenness. Watch God work. I went with my wife a few weeks ago, and I'm going to share with you several things the Lord told me to share. And then the Lord just going to carry us along and we'll minister as the Holy Spirit directs prayerfully. I was with my wife for a couple of days. Well, really a day, 24-hour period. We drove about 2 hours, have a little place we can get away to pray and just be alone. And we were going to eat that night and I was going to charcoal a steak for me and Betty and we had a little charcoal. I don't know how many of you have ever done this, but I'll tell you what I would do if I were pastor of a church and you shouldn't make your people do anything, but I would encourage my people to do two things. I would encourage my people to build a charcoal fire until they were successful. Not with self-lighting charcoal, the kind you have to soak in light, And I would encourage every single member of my church, from child, from junior age up, and possibly even younger than that, I would encourage every member of my church to grow some kind of a garden, either a flower garden or a vegetable garden or some kind of garden. Because it is only then that you begin to understand what it means to be fruitful and to multiply. And I'm going to tell you something about a garden. I don't care if it's a flower garden or a vegetable garden or a field of hay or grain or wheat or corn. You can plant the very best, but if you leave that field unattended, I can tell you what's going to take over. And I'll tell you something else. Your flowers and your vegetables will not be in sin. They don't sin. But they will find themselves under the assault of a destroyer, as surely as any holy person sitting in this room tonight. For the fiery darts of the wicked come against every breathing, living being. There is a destroyer that will grow weeds and thorns and briars in your garden. And the black spot and the spider mite and every other fungus known to man will attack plant life that doesn't sin. And I can assure you that you and I are in a war with the spiritual powers of darkness. And if you leave God's field unattended to by the husbandman, by Jesus Christ, the vine dresser, if you're not in Holy Spirit communion with holy God and allowing the sword of the Spirit to do work in your life, you too will be overgrown and your field will become a field that is sprouting poisonous weeds rather than good fruit to the glory of God. And I'm telling you that most Christians right now have their lives so infested by the work of the enemy that is an abomination to think about. Well, I was building a charcoal fire, and as I had the charcoals there on the grill, I remembered last winter a friend of mine went out to build a charcoal fire, and he couldn't get it lit. And I went out and I saw that the charcoal was scattered all over the grill. One little layer of charcoal. He was dousing it with the lighter fluid and putting the match to it, and it'd go like that and dead black charcoal. Well, I had remembered that. I am fairly perceptive. I learn quickly. I'm not like some people in government, Mr. Watt, who never will learn no matter what they do, you know. So what I had done is I knew that in order to get charcoal to light, you've got to pile it up in a neat little pile. Now watch this. I get the charcoal and I make a little pile, and some of the little briquettes trickle off and roll down the side. And meticulously, I reach down and pick up the charcoal and I place it in. I have to lodge it. I have to prop it up with some more charcoal. I've got dirt all over my fingers and I'm piling up the charcoal. And it's as though the Lord himself is just chuckling at me. He does that a lot about me, chuckles at me a lot. He thinks I'm pretty funny. And he's just chuckling at me, and he says, well, look at you. What are you doing? The Lord and I talk like this a lot. Excuse me. Some people don't believe you can, but I'm enjoying it, and I'll go right on talking to him. He likes to talk to me, and we fellowship like this. It's really all right to fellowship with your Father. He really likes to talk to you. Now, he never will contradict his word. That's the reason he gave you the word, because the devil will masquerade as an angel of light. And his ministers will come as ministers of righteousness. And they'll deceive you. They don't come in and announce, behold, a false prophet. They think they're right. But when you're deceived, you deceive. Well, the Lord and I talk a lot, and he's chuckling, and he said, what are you doing then? I said, I'm stacking this charcoal. It won't light unless you get it all together where all of it's touching each other. And I said, that's what I'm doing, Lord. And he said, isn't that something? He said, why don't you preachers learn to do that with my people? He said, my people are scattered all over the earth, not even touching each other. And you're running around trying to soak them in the oil of the Holy Spirit and in truth. He said, you just soak them and soak them and soak them and soak them. And then you wonder why they don't get on fire. He said, my son's already prayed it. that you may be one as we're one. A new commandment he gave you, that you love one another, even as we love one another. And by this the world will know you're my disciples, not full gospel, not Baptist, not Pentecostal, not charismatic, my disciples, if you love one another, really love one another. And the Lord said, you can soak them in truth, soak them in Holy Spirit emphasis, but until my people agree to come together, until my people will seek, strive diligently to preserve the unity of the Spirit into which they were born in Christ in a bond of peace, he said, you need not expect me to light the fire. He said, let my people come together with this purpose to seek me, as they did at Pentecost, waiting on me, waiting on the promise of the Father, waiting on me, and I'll light their fire. That's what I want to see. I'm committed to that. I'm committed to it. There isn't anybody I'll stop loving. I've been called the ugliest names I know any preacher has been called. I never knew a preacher get called what I've been called in the last year. I don't know any other preacher here been called a cult and a cult leader. That's been on the headlines of several papers with a very flattering picture of me like this. People. I'm not even a little bit mad at them. I mean, I'm really not. I'm not even chapped. I'm not even hacked. I'd preach for them next week if they had the courage to let me come. I mean, I'd just love to go and just preach to their people. I'm not mad at them. Let me tell you what we're doing. Listen, folks. We're revealing the true nature of our system. We've got the nature of the accuser of the brethren. We're mean to each other. God's going to heal us because we're going to agree to love one another. Somebody says, I'm not going to compromise. Well, I believe it may be the greatest compromise of all to refuse to love one another. As a matter of fact, if you don't love one another, God says you don't even know him. I didn't say that. God said it. You can't hear God if you won't walk in love. How are you going to know the truth if you're committed to walk in darkness, hating one another? God forgive us. He's going to.
Well, folks, that's just kind of a truckload of truth you heard. And Betty, God did such a transforming work in not only our lives, but the whole church. And that's carried over to where I'm seeing miraculous things happen now to impact the world. Matter of fact, the church coming together in the days that followed that message even literally saved freedom and literally began to collapse the Soviet Union's power and their economy. And it was because of what God did back then with national leadership, the result of prayer, and the result of church people deciding not to let denominational walls keep them from getting to know one another and know him better. We need to see that kind of awakening right now in the church. And we need to overpower the deceiver that is continuing nonstop in the media, on the news. Don't you get tired, Betty, of watching the nature of the devil being expressed through so many people in leadership, so many people on the news, so many people in media.
Absolutely, James. He's not hidden among the darkness anymore. He's right out there in the front. It is so evident that you can see the evil all around us. People, they're parading it around. They don't care. They don't understand they're being used by the enemy to destroy what God, try to destroy what God wants to accomplish in our lives. And so this message, James, to me, is so relevant to today. It's timeless. God's truth is timeless. And we better wake up and hear what He says to, wants to say to our hearts first.
Well, I really believe that we're going to see the greatest awakening in history. And I want to just ask you to not miss tomorrow. And I want to ask you to encourage everybody you know to watch this message. We're going to bring back some of the messages that I preached years ago that had an undeniable impact on the church. And as a result of what happened in the church, great things happened in the nation and even in the world. We're seeing glimpses of God's glory through church leaders that even back then when I delivered that message, decided not to let their denomination keep them from getting to know one another and to know Him better by literally moving in the supernatural unity of the Spirit. That is what we need. Betty, you know, we have great joy in doing something this time of year. We call it Shoes and Smiles for Christmas. We literally give tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of little shoes like this in the size of the children. And the little Christmas ornament is just decorating trees. You've got several trees decorated with these ornaments because we send you four of them if you give $100 for us to give a child shoes and smiles. And I mean, it's just amazing. And I'm telling you, we love it. I want you just to look in and listen. Listen to a medical doctor. Listen to somebody who really knew truth that we all do need to hear and know. And Betty, the thought of giving shoes blesses me, but giving smiles, I think, maybe gives me an even greater blessing. Because these children with cleft palate, they never thought they'd have a smile. Let's give them some smiles. Let's give shoes and smiles for Christmas. Listen prayerfully.
We're so excited to help you with that.
For nearly two decades, Friends of Life Outreach International have made it possible for us to bless thousands of children during the Christmas season through our Christmas Shoes and Smiles campaign. Because of their generosity, we've been able to provide shoes for children of impoverished families throughout the world. And for children impacted with cleft lip and palate disorders, we have blessed them with corrective surgeries.
Cleft lip and palate affects about 1 in 800 to 1 in 1,000 babies. So when a child is born with a cleft palate and it's not repaired, then they can have lifelong problems with speech. And then it also affects feeding, of course, because when babies are breastfed, they must create suction. When they have a cleft palate, they can't create the seal that enables them to create suction. But there's hope because it's very treatable. So it's really amazing how over the course of a 1 hour surgery, you really transform a child's face, but you transform how they eat and transform how they'll interact with the world in the future.
This Christmas season, you can be part of bringing joy to children around the world by providing them a new pair of shoes or a smile that will last a lifetime.
So I'm really grateful for the opportunity to do these surgeries and impact the lives that is given by Life Outreach International.
I just can't tell you. I mean, it's Betty, don't you just love all the little children that need shoes? And don't you love the ones that never thought they would ever smile? It just gives me great joy to give them shoes, to give them smiles. And Betty and I normally give more than one time to every outreach we have, because we love him and we love them. Betty, don't you love seeing those little children that never smiled, a smile?
It's just awesome, James. And just to think the joy that that mother of that child has. Every mom wants their baby to be able to smile. That first smile that they have, looking at their mother and how much love she has for them, what a difference that makes to know that her baby, their babies are going to be able to smile. And then the shoes. One of the greatest things that I sensed in my heart was we got to go over there, a privileged. I got to slip these shoes on some of these precious little children and to see their hearts just glow and their smiles come on their faces and slipping their little feet into these shoes. It brought me such great, great joy, James, just as I know it does you just knowing that you're doing that through Life Outreach.
Well, it's a miracle that could only happen because of you. You know, Betty and I went to more than 40 nations, and we spent, 35 years crusading and 25 years basically hands-on in the mission field. And you know what we did? We found missionaries that left everything to plant their life in the midst of suffering. And they even took their children. They homeschooled them. Wherever they went, wherever there was a village or a need, they went with their whole heart involved. When I saw these people, and I said, you know what? I think Betty and I'll come over here and just help you. And the missionary said, please don't. Peter Pretorius made it very clear. Please don't stay here. Please go back and see if you can get us help so we can stay here and not be empty-handed. And I was amazed, Betty, when we came back and started talking to you about helping the helpless, helping the hungry, helping the thirsty, and of all things, putting shoes on little precious feet and giving them a smile. You did it.
Yes.
I just feel like God just corrected me. He said, no, James, I did it through them. When you ask them, would they do my will? Would they express my love? They said yes. And they helped me put my arms around the children that I gave my son to redeem. Thank you. Would you right now make the largest gift you can to help us give shoes and smiles? You know, $36 provides 10 children shoes. Man, that's like $3 per child. Would you please, please, would you give a smile? Could you give $1,000 and give 2 smiles? Whatever you can do, I believe you're going to do it. Go get your bank card, use it like a check. You write a check, make it to Life, but you need to call us, tell us it's coming. Because we do have to let the missionaries know you can count on the help. You can count on the shoes, and you can provide some smiles. I'm praying that every one of you who can give will give. Father, please pour your love out through those who are watching. In Jesus' name, let's witness a miracle of love. Let's all be a part of that. Thank you so much for doing it. We have some gifts for you that I promise you will bless you very much. But boy, how you're blessing these children. Thank you.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer not only from lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a protective pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of painful infections, injury, and life-threatening diseases. But this Christmas, you can bring hope and healing. Your gift today will help provide new shoes for 150,000 children in time for the holidays, and for some children, a beautiful new smile. Your gift of $36 will help provide shoes for 10 children, $72 will help provide for 20, $180 will help provide shoes for 50, and a gift of $500 will help provide a cleft surgery, restoring a child's smile forever. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request the beautifully crafted yellow crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake set featuring 4 of Life's colorful crystal shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective smile surgeries. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
So I'm here in South Sudan, and it is a rugged place. Rocky, thorny. If it doesn't bite you, it will stick you. And all of these children are barefoot. Today's a great day for them because we're in their village with Christmas shoes. But there are still so many villages around the world that need Christmas shoes that we want to bless. As you know, for years now, we've been giving hundreds of thousands of pairs away. But there's still a great need, and we want to be a part of just sharing a little bit of joy and a little bit of Christmas love with children around the world. It's going to change the way they walk. It's going to help with infections on their feet. We've seen so many children as we've come through, their feet are infected, their toes are infected, they've got cuts on their ankles. And so we need your help. It takes just a small amount to help with each child. $3.60 will put a pair of shoes on each one of these kids' feet. So whatever you can give, maybe it's small, maybe it's great, but whatever you can do, would you please help us? Would you go right now to your phone or online or write a check? However you give, would you please help us give Christmas shoes just as a simple way of reminding children that God sees them and that God loves them.
You know, this little shoe, it expresses a lot of love. We can hang it as an ornament and we can talk about how we got it and encourage others to give shoes and smiles. Thank you so much for helping us share God's love. Please don't miss the message completed tomorrow. I promise you, it impacted the church in an indescribably positive fashion. And it will you. And I believe the church even again. Thank you so much for watching Life Today. We love you.
Through Life Planning Services, we offer estate planning and giving solutions that provide tax advantages, income, and the satisfaction of supporting a cause close to your heart. Call or visit Life Planning Services today.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Call now or go online to become a friend for life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time.
Tomorrow, James challenges you to live by the Word of God.
Signs follow the Word! If you follow signs, you miss the word.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.